righteousness. He says, come ye apart from the rest of the world and be ye separate. And I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. So the message is, come home. Reminds me of that old gospel invitational hymn. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make sure you get a copy of your Jewish calendar, your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries, plus $5 postage and handling costs, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Also, pastors, pastors only, I have 4 copies, Spirit of Revival, Setting the Sails for Revival. You've got to call if you want it. It's free, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And can I urge you to become a partner? Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Come home.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Tom Elias, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Now, it's very difficult for the average American to believe when we have so many people dying of cancer that basically there could be a conscious effort to suppress effective cancer treatments. But there really are. And you have to ask yourself, why would that happen? Well, that is certainly beyond the confines of the perspective of tonight's program. But we are going to be talking about the Brzezinski Breakthrough. It's the story of a Dr. Stanislaus Brzezinski who came to the United States from Poland. And when he was a medical student, he realized that certain people had products in their blood, peptides, but cancer patients didn't have those peptides. And so it was his presumption that perhaps if you could introduce those peptides into cancer patients, you could counter their cancer. And so he came back and he worked there at the Baylor University and on the staff. And then he eventually went off on his own to try to determine whether or not his presumption was right. And through the years, why he was able to actually cure a number of people with incurable cancers. And these were people who certainly had been given up on by their doctors that had the traditional therapy of radiation and chemotherapy, which actually destroys the immune system and predisposes people to cancer. So you treat cancer by chemotherapy and radiation, which it predisposes people to cancer, whereas what you should be doing is trying to get the immune system working properly, because lots of people will have cancer, and if they get their immune system working, why, of course, they can overcome the cancer. And of course, this brings us to Tom Elias, who's written this book about the Brzezinski Breakthrough. Hi, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm okay in most ways, but my voice is not quite what it usually is, Dr. Stan. So, but I do this show anyway because this book, this information saves lives. It really doesn't matter if it's a struggle for me to talk, because I know that people that are afflicted with cancer are struggling a whole lot worse. And this can really help them. So you've summed it up pretty well. What we have here is a cancer treatment that the federal government has known about and has known that it's effective for at least 19 years. The first documents we have are dated in October of 1991, where the National Cancer Institute's chief cancer drug evaluator wrote to one of his colleagues that the human brain tumor responses with this drug are real. Now, the National Cancer Institute and the Food and Drug Administration, after that memo was written, then proceeded for the next 6-7 years to persecute the doctor who'd invented the drug, the drug that they said works. And it's just it's an incredibly shocking story when you think about it, and all the details, all the documents are in the book.
And first, basically, what's really so exciting is begin to understand epigenetics. A lot of this wasn't understood in the past, but the genes in our body are just like little switches, and you can turn them off or on, and you turn on the P53 anti-tumor gene, and then this gene begins to produce certain chemical substances that will stimulate the immune system to counter the cancer, and your body will take care of the cancers. That's basically how it works, and it works in about something like well over 60% of cancers. We'll be back in just a moment with Tom Elias. Well, Dr. Stan here, and Tom Elias is a journalist. He has a syndicated political column. It's read all across the country. He's been around for a long time in the newspaper business. But he was quite intrigued when somebody called him one time and actually told him that there was an effort to prosecute a gentleman who had saved this woman's life. And she asked Tom to look into it. Why don't you tell that story, Tom? Because,
sure,
of course, that's how it all began.
Yes, that is how it all began. For me, that's how it all began. But compared to Dr. Brzezinski, I'm a Johnny-come-lately on this. Although I've been involved with it for, roughly 15 years, and I've met literally hundreds of people whose lives have been saved by this drug. So what happened is, I was in the midst of covering the O.J. Simpson criminal trial. At the time, I was a national correspondent for the Scripps Howard News Service. And so I was sitting in court every day, and one evening the phone rang, and it was my old friend Mary Jo Siegel, who I hadn't seen in several years. And she was frantic. She told me that her life had been saved from a grade 4 lymphoma that had produced this gigantic lump on her neck, and her life had been saved with this non-toxic treatment that didn't cause her to go bald, didn't cause her to be nauseated all the time, and the doctor who did this for her was just then being placed under indictment by the United States government. And would I please do something about this? Now, you know, in the news business, we're constantly being confronted, maybe even hectored, by people who have all kinds of wild notions, all kinds of inventions, very few of which are any good. But I knew this woman, and I knew what kind of responsible person she was, and so I looked into it. And the more I looked into it, the more I discovered that the FDA, which was calling Dr. Brzezinski a fraud, was the real fraud in this case. They couldn't produce any information to prove that his drug didn't work, but Dr. Brzezinski gave me access to all his patients so I could talk to both the people whose lives had been saved and to people for whom the drug didn't work. I could talk to their families and see what they felt about this treatment. Well, the bottom line is, it became clear to me who was in the right in this and who was in the wrong. And it took years of research to discover why this was going on.
Okay, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Tom Elias right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Tom was contacted by a woman he knew, and at the time he was actually working for the Scripps Howard News Service, and he was actually covering the O.J. Simpson trial, and he sat there every other day. He had they had one seat for he and another reporter. He was white, the other fellow was black, and so they sat and they alternated there for the whole trial, and they eventually wrote a book together called Black and White about the O.J. Simpson trial. However, that has nothing to do with the story of Brzezinski. He certainly, in the midst of the trial, while a woman called Tom, she was frantic. It was somebody Tom knew. And she said that the doctor who had saved her life was now being indicted by the government. They wanted to send him to prison. Well, actually, they wanted to send him to prison for 300 years. What was his crime? Why, of course, some of the medicine that was saving lives was being shipped across the border, state border, illegally, when, of course, it had not been cleared by the Federal Drug Administration. And even though it was saving lives, they wanted to put Dr. Brzezinski in jail, but he wasn't shipping across the straight lines, interstate lines. Other people were shipping across interstate lines. And this was really an effort to destroy a man who was saving human lives. Now, how could that happen in America? And if it did happen, why wouldn't it be picked up by the mass media? And I might ask you that same question. You know, certainly this has not gotten the fair play from the mass media, that they were trying to send an innocent man who was saving lives and had an effective treatment for many cancers. They were trying to send him to prison for 300 years. Why didn't the media, the mass media, pick that up?
Well, because they were convinced by the American Cancer Society, by the Food and Drug Administration, by the American Medical Association. They were told repeatedly that this man was a fraud. And, you know, some of the reporters for the most prominent media outlets are very much in the pockets of the drug industry. A classic example of that is a woman named Gina Colata, who writes for the New York Times. Now, Ms. Colata has not just written scurrilous articles about Brzezinski based on very poor evidence, where the only people she quotes are people who have conflicts of interest and have a bias and a financial interest in killing Brzezinski's efforts. But she's done other things. For instance, she, at one point, prepared a book proposal on a type of drug called angiotensins. And I won't get into the details of what angiotensins are. But one Sunday morning, in the year 2002, Gina Colata had a front-page story in the New York Times about the merits of angiotensins. And lo and behold, the very next day, her book proposal for a book about angiotensins started circulating in New York City. Her agent began circulating it the very next day to publishers. Well, if that's not a conflict of interest, and if that's not using your journalism job for your personal gain, I can't imagine anything that is. That's a firing offense on any responsible newspaper that I know of. Certainly the newspaper of which I'm part owner, we would dump a reporter immediately that had that kind of a conflict of interest. But the New York Times continues to publish Gina Colata today. So you ask, why did some of the major media not do anything with this story? Well, some of them were fooled, and others had their own conflicts of interest. Now, I can tell you this. The stories that I wrote for Scripps Howard about Dr. Brzezinski got very, very significant play in newspapers in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Cincinnati and Denver, Memphis, and those kinds of places, but not in New York. And really, to have any influence in this country, you have to be published in Los Angeles, New York, or Washington. No place else really matters in terms of influencing public opinion. That's just how it is. It's unfortunate, but that is how it is.
And, of course, really, I think that the great tragedy is here is an effective treatment. Now, certainly we're beginning to learn so much more about epigenetics. Only recently have I heard, even on the mass media, mention of this. We've been talking about it here at Radio Liberty for more than a year. But it's been, you know, the fact that the genes actually can if properly aligned, can kill most cancers. In other words, your own body will be able to do it.
Absolutely.
But everything that the doctors are doing, and I'm not condemning the doctors. Remember, I was trained as a doctor, and you saw a cancer. What did you do? You cut it out, and maybe you had to radiate that as well. And that was the way we were trained. We never thought at all about the fact that sometimes the human body, amazing as it is, can actually cure cancer. And I'll never forget when I was a resident and we operated on this woman and we opened her up, the surgeon opened her up, we looked at her abdomen and the peroneal cavity, the lining of the abdominal cavity was just studded with cancers every place. And she was a young, attractive woman with three or four children. And, you know, what could you do? There's absolutely nothing. You couldn't cut it out. You couldn't radiate it. She was going to die. And so we discharged her after the surgery, and I remember running into her husband about 6 months later and asking how his wife was, and he said, oh, she's fine, she's completely cured. And I remember at the time thinking, how could that be? I mean, I saw the cancer, I touched the cancer, I could feel it hard as it was, and yet this woman was quite well. Something had happened, and she had been able to cure herself. Well, this is, of course, what the body has the ability to do if properly aligned. And, of course, what Dr. Baczynski's medicine does is to, well, I'll let Tom explain to you how the medicine works. But before we get into how the medicine works, well, let's go into why it was that the people in the Federal Drug Administration wanted to send Dr. Baczynski to prison for 300 years. Now, remember, when you are a prosecutor, work for the government, you can do all sorts of criminal things. You can bring in perjured testimony. You can lie. You can withhold information that would exonerate the individual, and nothing is ever done to the prosecutors. When was the last time you heard a prosecutor sent to prison for sending an innocent person to prison? And they were going to send Dr. Baczynski to prison for 300 years. Well, tell us the story of what right. The real story was.
Well, this is really about a combination of prejudice and money, like a lot of things that go on in the world. First of all, you have to go back to 1980, and the testimony of the gentleman that at that time was the Commissioner of Food and Drugs for the United States. He told the Congressional Committee at that time that the FDA has never and will never license a drug to an individual. Well, okay. So now we have the prejudice established, because Dr. Baczynski is a small operator. He's an individual. Yes, he has a company, a corporation, he's not a pharmaceutical company like a Merck or a SmithKline or a Wyeth or something, or a company like that, or a Novartis. So they basically had announced, before Baczynski ever knew it, that they would never license a drug to him. Now, it happened that early in the story, a drug company called Elan Pharmaceuticals took an interest in Dr. Brzezinski's drug. This happened because back in 89, Dr. Brzezinski cured a woman of a very severe cancer, and she happened to be the sister of the man who owned the major interest in Elan Pharmaceutical. His name was Donald Penos. So he took an interest in the drug, and he began funding a lab at the National Cancer Institute, which acquired eventually five patents, completely identical to Dr. Brzezinski's patents. You look at the chemical drawings, the molecular drawings in those patents, and you look at the drawings of Dr. Brzezinski's patents, they are the same. And interestingly, in those patents, the scientists at the National Cancer Institute waxed very enthusiastic about all this drug could do against cancers. Well, so once the National Cancer Institute had the identical patents to Brzezinski's, they licensed them right back to Elan Pharmaceutical, the company that had paid for the research. So now Elan Pharmaceutical has paid a lot of money for the development rights, but they know that if they pursue that patent, if they develop it into a major drug, that Brzezinski will sue them for patent infringement, because he had the patent first. It was his baby. They got the substance from him. The scientists actually requested samples from him, and being naive, and trusting, he sent them samples. And then they went from there. They recreated it. They duplicated it. So what happened was that within a month of the development contract being signed between the National Cancer Institute, actually the National Institutes of Health, which is the parent of the National Cancer Institute. So once that contract was signed, 1 month later, Dr. Brzezinski's clinic was raided by federal agents of the Drug Enforcement Administration, armed agents who came in and rousted these cancer victims who could barely walk, many of them in wheelchairs, and are waving guns in their faces and chasing them out of the waiting room of Brzezinski's clinic.
Now, why would the armed people from the FDA terrorize innocent cancer patients, storming into an office and frightening them to death? That seems like a sort of inhumane thing to do. Or is it all about creating a sense of fear that the government's going to get you?
Well, I wasn't wanting to get into the psychology of it on their part. I think that whenever they conduct a raid, they carry weapons.
And they want to intimidate people. That's what it's all about. You intimidate people, and people will just give in, you know, rather than try to fight them. Do whatever you want to. Just please don't intimidate me. Don't hurt me. Why would they go into a doctor's office with armed weapons and roust out the cancer patients? But go ahead.
Yeah. So what happened was that they confiscated all of Dr. Brzezinski's records, and 3 months later...
That was so he couldn't treat his patients and cure them. And basically, of course, what they were doing was doing everything they could to prevent his treating patients and cure them. What sort of a government agency would do that? We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so that's what they did. And it took about a year and a half after the indictment before they actually brought Dr. Brzezinski to trial.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Give him a permit so that he can begin to develop the medication, the use of the medication, prove that it works under your supervision. Now, basically, you have to understand that in Texas they had a law that a doctor could use any drug he wanted to in that state. You know, if he thought it was beneficial, he could use it. And that's why Dr. Baczynski was able to operate in Texas and cure people's lives. But once they left the state, they would not be able to get the medication, and they would die. They could either stay there or, as happened, they would get their friends to go and get the medication and ship it across the state lines. Dr. Baczynski was smart enough not to do that, not to violate the law. But that didn't matter. They wanted to get him. And incidentally, I would just comment, I very often get calls from the American Cancer Society, and they say, oh, you know, wouldn't you like to help people, you know, with cancer? And wouldn't you like to give us money so we can do this? And I just say, I wouldn't give you a penny, because the American Cancer Society tried to destroy Dr. Baczynski, who had an effective treatment. Why don't you support him? Because poor lady calling me, she doesn't know anything about Dr. Baczynski. But I simply make it a point. I said, you ought to look into Baczynski and find out the organization you're really working for that's doing everything they can to block effective treatments that will save so many human lives. And, you know, and then I said, thank you so much for calling. And very nicely hang up on them. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand the American Cancer Society, and there are organizations out there that have done everything they can to suppress effective treatments for cancer. And, well, we have to ask why. We can understand why some of the drug companies wouldn't want a drug that would cure cancer. After all, one of them gets $40,000 a month for a medication that will prolong life about 3 or 4 months. $40,000 a month, and of course, as long as it's paid for by insurance. Will Dr. Baczynski's treatments be paid for by insurance today?
Sometimes. The effort right now is to increase that. But when the drug is approved, and it's on the way to approval now, because a lot of the people who did these things in the past are gone from the Food and Drug Administration. They've retired, they've moved on to other jobs, whatever, they're out of the way. And so a lot of the prejudice against him is gone. But still some vestiges of it remain. And so whenever he deals with them, it takes longer than it does for other people. But the upshot is that his drug now has orphan designation, which is what the FDA... that's a category the FDA has established for drugs that it considers are the most promising treatments in the pipeline for something they call orphan diseases. An orphan disease is one that has less than 50,000 cases a year in the United States. And certainly many brain tumors, gliomas, glioblastomas, astrocytomas, have fewer cases than that every year in the United States. And that's a good thing, because under the standard treatments, everybody that gets that disease dies, with very few exceptions. They're dead within 2 years. But that's what happened to Ted Kennedy, for one. He chose not to go to Brzezinski. He was presented with the information about Brzezinski, and I personally told his family members that if Ted Kennedy didn't go to Dr. Brzezinski, if he went to Duke, which is what he did, went to the treatment center run by Dr. Henry Friedman in Durham, North Carolina, at Duke, I told him that he would be dead within 2 years. And, of course, he was dead within 16 months. So I wasn't too far off, but that's what happened. It was just a bad choice.
What is Dr. Brzezinski's cure rate with that type of cancer?
His response rate is right now about 65%. That was a glioblastoma brain tumor that Ted Kennedy had.
And that is basically described by shrinking. You never say you're completely cured of cancer, although
these
people have been 20, 30 years without their cancers. But certainly the medicine says, oh, you got a 5-year survival. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, Brzezinski right now has a 40% 5-year survival rate against that particular brain tumor. The standard treatments get a 0.5%.
And this
5-year survival rate.
And this is the tragedy, ladies and gentlemen. There are cancer treatments. They're being effectively suppressed. And still, Dr. Brzezinski is being vilified by many people who have, for whatever reason, a vested interest in suppressing effective treatments for cancer. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And when we get back, if you'd like to talk to Tom, we'll be glad to put you through. But our guest, of course, is Tom Elias. The book is Brzezinski Breakthrough. We have the book, or we think it's an effective one, and everybody should understand what's really going on.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
You go right ahead, Tom. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
I'm going to just apologize once again for my voice, Dr. Stan. It's somewhat impaired today, and you know, that just happens once in a while. But, you know, you had mentioned how many people this drug has successfully treated. And actually, it numbers in the thousands now. About 3 years ago, Dr. Brzezinski was celebrating the 30th anniversary of the establishment of his clinic in Houston. And he asked me to come down and give one of the talks at the celebration, which took place in a ballroom of a hotel in Houston. And there were about 600 people in the room, the vast majority of which were his patients, and certainly there were some family members there. And what happened was that I gave a little talk, and when I finished, there was a line of 60 people, 60 at least people, who waited in line to come and shake my hand and say, "We want to thank you, Mr. Elias, because your book saved my life." One after another, they would say that to me. And these people had breast cancers, they had kidney cancers, they had liver cancers, they had brain tumors, and they were all healthy by the time they made it to this banquet. And these were just the people who could afford to come to the banquet. They came from all over the country, but really from all over the world. He's treated patients from Brazil and Australia. One of his patients in Perth, Australia, the far west of Australia, invited Dr. Brzezinski down there when they had the Olympics in Australia. He actually ran with his patient, his former patient, through Perth with the Olympic torch. And that was a thrill for him. But imagine, this was a woman who had been told she was going to die of a brain tumor. And she came all the way to the United States to get treated by Dr. Brzezinski. And here she is running along with the Olympic torch, and she invited the man who saved her life to do it. Now, that's what the patients did when Dr. Brzezinski was under indictment. They knew he had saved
his life. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Tom Elias. We're talking about his book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough, or Brzezinski Breakthrough. And certainly, do you have a website that you'd like to put out, anything specifically where people can get more information? We do carry the book. We have a four-tape set on this, so really some very touching and powerful interviews. But do you have any information you'd like to put out?
Well, the best I can do is suggest an email address where you can get your questions answered. If you write to me at Burzbook, B-U-R-Z-B-O-O-K, at AOL.com, I will see to it that you get an answer to whatever question you have about this drug. And there have been actually quite a few people who have availed themselves of that service, and several of them have wound up getting treated by Dr. Brzezinski. And, of course, one of the good things about getting the orphan designation, which I mentioned before, is that this drug is going to go pretty soon to a multi-center trial. Brzezinski has got the protocol approved for that by the FDA now, and really he's negotiating with financiers to try and get the money to put this trial together, because he doesn't just want to give the treatment to a drug company. He doesn't want to just sell it to a drug company, which he could at this point. But what he wants to do, because he fears that any drug company would probably bury this drug because it would eliminate so many of the other drugs that they now make. You would have no need for Avastin. You would have no need for Herceptin. You would have no need for methotrexate. You would have no need for vincristine. Many of the drugs that are now used as chemotherapeutic agents are very, very expensive, just would be superseded by this completely.
And, of course, as difficult as it is to believe, basically they've done this in the past with effective drugs. They buried them, just like sometimes they'll bury an effective book, and it'll never see the light of day because they don't want it out there. And
right. The
drugs, I'm sure, that they do not want out, certainly because it would destroy the fabulous sums of money they're making from these other drugs. Now, somebody had called in and wanted to know if the average person could afford to have the treatment if it's not covered by insurance. How much does treatment like this cost?
Well, let's just put it this way. It's not cheap, and I'll give you some numbers in a second. It's not cheap, but it's not as expensive as the standard treatments. On the other hand, the insurance companies are willing to pay $40,000 a month for Avastin. Up until you reach the limit of your insurance policy, by the way, there is a ceiling on many insurance policies of what they'll spend in a lifetime. But you'll usually, if you undergo this treatment, you'll usually go down to Texas if you qualify for a clinical trial, and you will get an infusion pump. An infusion pump might cost about $5,000 or $6,000, and then if you're on a clinical trial, you won't pay for the drug. You will pay for nursing services and ancillary services. And many insurance companies are now paying for this drug. For instance, if you look at the book, you'll find the story of Tori Moreno, the youngest patient that Dr. Brzezinski ever treated. She was 3 weeks old when her parents took her down to Houston for a treatment of a brainstem glioma, which was wrapped around her brainstem. Kind of like silly putty, wrapped around the brainstem, totally inoperable. And the other doctors had told the parents to just take little Tori home and let her die peacefully because it was totally hopeless. Well, they took her down to Houston. And then, once she had responded to the drug, and by the way, she is now 11 years old and a very healthy young girl, once she had undergone the treatment, the parents went to Blue Cross, which was their insurer, and said, look, this worked. You've got to pay for it. And Blue Cross said, no, it's considered an experimental drug. We don't pay for experimental drugs, so forget it. And this went back and forth, and both of the parents were deputy sheriffs in Los Angeles County, and they basically went to the union, the deputy sheriff's union, and said, and told them this problem, and the union went to Blue Cross and said, you'll pay for this treatment, or you're not going to be one of the options we offer our members anymore. And so the treatment was paid for, and Little Tory's treatment came to a total of about $100,000. Now, that's a lot of money, but it's really the equivalent of 2.5 months of Avast.
Well, let me just share my personal experience. My closest friend, he's been my friend for 50 years, and his daughter, who, you know, we knew her when she was, well, when she was born, we've known her whole life, and she's in her 30s now, in her 40s, I guess, basically she had metastatic cancer, and it spread from her breast into her lymph nodes, and she didn't, the doctors, of course, wanted to do a mastectomy and a lymphadenoidectomy and all those things, and she didn't want that, so she went down to Brzezinski. Now, she did not have any insurance. Fortunately, she had a father who would stand by her. And basically, the complete workup there was about $20,000. But of course, the treatment, the medication, because she did not have any money, they sent her to some sort of a clinic that actually provides the medicine for nothing. And so she's getting the medicine for very, very little. She has to go to a doctor here who actually administers the medicine to her. But she's doing fine. Basically, she has no evidence of recurrence, no evidence of spread. She's healthy, she's, you know, and for the cost, you know, certainly I'd say it was worth every cent of it. When you think of the alternative and the ravages of surgery, because so often when you do operate, the insult of the surgery actually decreases the immune response. So here is a young woman I've known my whole life. I guess I've known her all of her life, and she's doing fine. And yes, it's a little expensive to begin with. Had they had insurance, why, they probably would have taken care of a good deal of it, but certainly a complete workup, that's not out of line at all. And I think it's certainly from my personal experience, that is what I know to have taken place. Well, let's go to Sandy, who's calling us from Yakima, Washington. Hi, Sandy, do you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I had a comment. Mr. Elias, they did the same thing to the Canadian nurse, Renee Casey, that came up with the herbal formula to cure cancer.
You're talking about the Easiac, yeah, actually.
Yeah, they did the same thing to her.
She lived in Bracebridge in Canada, and yes, anybody who comes up with an effective cancer treatment will have the same thing. They did it to Hoxsey. They did it to the people using Laetrile. But I think that this is really better than any of the other treatments. But go ahead, Sandy.
Oh, that's all that I wanted to say is they, you know, the Canadian Medical Association made her practice for nothing. But she had so many supporters, so many people that she had cured, that they took care of her, you know. Plus, they had people that volunteered with her so that she could continue with her clinic.
Well, I don't think she ever charged anything for her treatment, actually.
Well,
people wanted a treated payer, and most of them did give her something keep her going. But she didn't charge for her treatment. She wanted to help people, but there were people who didn't want a cure for cancer. That's
The reality of Brzezinski's situation is that he has to charge. For one thing, he produces the drug. He's got a factory where this drug is produced, and it's made synthetically now. It could have been. There was a time about 35 years ago when it was distilled from human urine, and at that time Brzezinski had prisons and convents and churches, all different kinds of organizations collecting urine so that he could distill the peptides out of it. But with the advent of a technique called mass spectrometry, you don't have to do that anymore. You can actually synthesize the stuff. But that takes a factory. Factory takes money. He's got PhD scientists running his factory because, you know, this has to be made to the very strict cleanliness standards, sanitary standards of the Food and Drug Administration. And the interesting thing is, at the very same time that they were prosecuting him for using the drug, the other wing of the FDA was giving his manufacturing plant top marks for how clean it was. And what a job they were doing. It's very interesting how the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing.
Well, I think what's really so interesting to me is my friend's daughter now gets the medication for little or nothing. I mean, and I suspect Brzezinski is really providing it because she doesn't have any money. So certainly for, in this instance, why they're actually, somebody's putting up the money for the medicine she's taking.
Dr. Stan, if she's on a clinical trial, the drug will be free. The only thing she'd be charged for is the ancillary services, nursing care, lab tests, those sorts of things
right. That
would be necessary to go along with it. And she would have to probably pay for the pump, too, if she's on the infusion version of the treatment.
Now there is a
capsule version of the treatment, by the way.
Right. Well, anything else you want to say, Sandy? I guess we lost Sandy Willits.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I want to make one point about the Canadian nurse that she mentioned, who had developed what some people felt was a very good treatment. And Sandy described the response of her patients and how they've helped her out. Well, that's what happened with Brzezinski's patients. They raised $770,000 for his defense, and they did it in part by going on your program and Michael Reagan's program and a lot of other talk shows around the country, and people sent in money from all over the place. It wasn't just the patients that kicked in. It was people that heard this story and were appalled by it, and they kicked in to prevent an injustice from occurring, and it worked.
Well, I think it's an amazing, amazing treatment. And now, of course, Dr. Brzezinski understands why it works, and I think it's really amazing. And it's the process of epigenetics. Well, certainly, if you have a question for Tom, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we've got Donna calling from New Orleans. Hi, Donna. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I wanted to know, is there anything a person can do? Keep these good naturally occurring peptides in your body going?
Well, actually, there is. A lot of it is diet. A lot of it is, eating the proper kinds of food that has these amino acids in it. And this is something we don't usually talk about, but Dr. Brzezinski actually has a line of food supplements that he sells them over the counter in Europe. They're distributed there in drugstores and so on. Here they're only sold online. And that's called AminoCare. And these are capsules with the combinations of amino acids in them, not at the dosages you would take if you were a cancer patient, but at much milder dosages. And that's a way to keep these substances going in your body. But as a rule, most people have these things. It's an aberration when you don't. And what happens with this drug is with these peptides, is they basically keep the P53 tumor suppressor gene going. And deficiencies in the action of the P53 tumor suppressor gene have been found by Johns Hopkins University and others to be involved in 65% of all cancers. So it's not really surprising that if Dr. Brzezinski's drug works to reactivate this tumor suppressor gene, which kills off cancer tumors, it's not surprising that that his response rate is about 65%.
Okay, Donna, but basically the key really to avoid cancer is a proper diet, and certainly there's something up on the internet called the Hallelujah Diet, or you can get the Dr. Day's Diet by drday.com on the internet. Or certainly, this is so vitally important. Then there's so many toxins in our environment, like aspartame and like atrazine and like the bisphenols and the cans that certainly in the plastics and the phthalates and the various chemicals and certain cancer.
Cigarette smoke.
Yeah, absolutely. Smoking and certainly, milk. Milk actually increases the incidence of cancer, both breast and prostatic cancer. And soy, certainly large doses of soy are damaging the fluoride, and the fluoride's in so many things that, in addition, of course, to the fluoridated drinking water, the genetically modified foods, certainly the substances within vaccines, the mercury, the aluminum, all of these things, they know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. I hope that answers your question, Donna.
Well, thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much. And you get those people down there in New Orleans listening, will you?
I'm trying.
Oh, yeah, well, God bless.
Hello, okay. Nolan, and I hope you're doing okay down there.
All right, fine. Well, that's Donna, his regular caller there from New Orleans. And they've got having a lot of economic problems down in that whole area because of this fiasco as far as the oil spill. I would just comment, isn't it interesting? You know, we've been watching those oil rigs work for all these years, and suddenly we see the fire on the deep horizon, and then we see another fire, and then we see another fire, three fires on oil rigs down there, and they're saying, oh, we're going to have to do something about controlling offshore drilling. President Obama was so wise to stop offshore drilling or to make it almost impossible. Well, let's get back to our real subject, of course, which is the Brzezinski breakthrough. And certainly this is being at least more widely accepted by some people. People actually learn about this from others. They read Tom's book, and they're getting the information out across America. Are there any doctors now who are prescribing this on their own?
Well, you really can't. Until the drug is approved for use against something. And the first trials will be against brainstem gliomas and optical pathway gliomas, two types of brain tumor. But until the drug is approved, no physician can prescribe it in the United States. Even in Texas, where they had that law that you mentioned, which allowed any doctor to use any drug that they felt would help the patients, that law hasn't existed since 1985. And, I mean, that was the law when Dr. Brzezinski started out. But that's one of the reasons he ran into legal problems later, is the law was rescinded.
Okay, let's go to Duke, who's calling from Texas. Hi, Duke. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, real quick. Have you seen a correlation between Rockefeller and the FDA and where it ties in with the education system and how all this comes about?
Do you have a comment on that at all, Tom?
I didn't quite understand the words.
There's a tie-in between the Rockefeller and the education system.
Oh, between the Rockefellers.
Right.
No, I really don't know anything about that one.
All right, fine. Well, Duke, if you never heard our four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, you need to get it because, of course, it's an interview with a doctor from Pennsylvania, Dr. Dennegan. I interviewed him, and he tells about having heard this talk by Dr. Richard Day, who is the director of research for Planned Parenthood, who said, you know, too many people in the world, they're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. We've got treatments. It's 1969. They're locked up there at the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. You can get the four tapes at The New Order of the Barbarians. Well, Tom, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Oh, any Duke, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go? We lost Duke, so Tom, okay. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right, we'll try and do it in 3 minutes.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Father of one of the boys who the government killed. They wouldn't allow him to have the treatment, and they actually had to hide out in America, hide from the government, who wanted to destroy his son's brain. They wanted to irradiate him and take away 25% of his intelligence, and the father didn't want that. And it's really a very touching interview. The little boy died thanks to the government officials who wanted to kill him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is really what we're up against. We do have a four-tape set. Why do we still have cancer? We have a four-tape set on Laetrile. Oh, we have information on other cancer treatments that are available in tape sets from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. We carry Ed Griffin's book, A World Without Cancer. That going into the background of Laetrile, I really believe, of course, that this treatment is far better. Treatment of the peptide treatment, Brzezinski treatment is better than Laetrile, but there was a very definite place for Laetrile. The most important thing is diet. If you'd like to get the information Dr. Day puts out, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore, her DVDs, we do have, I think, four or five DVDs that Lorraine Day has put out. To understand the mentality behind what's going on, you need to hear our four CD or four tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. There are interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who I personally interviewed. But back in the late 1980s, he told this story to a friend of ours, Randy Engel, and she recorded three of the interviews. I record one of the interviews. The New Order of the Barbarians. If you're only going to get one tape set, why get this one? It will change the way that you look at the world. And we actually have a transcript of it. You can purchase separately if you'd like. The New Order of the Barbarians. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be very evil to want to prevent people from being treated for cancer. That takes you into my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It takes you into my talk on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction, or none dare call it genocide, or population control. We have a four-tape set on population control. And, of course, if you've never seen the Georgia Guidestones, where the master plan is laid out, you can go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and we have the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones. It's put up by a secret society. Actually, it was the Rosicrucians. We've subsequently learned this secret occult organization where they call for the elimination of over 90% of the world's population. They know exactly what they're doing. The Rosicrucians are alive and well and operating in America at many levels, and the interlock in with the Brotherhood of Darkness we write and talk about. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Go up on my webpage at RadioLiberty.com and read my section, my presentation on the Georgia Guidestones. They're real, they're not imagined. You can go back, you can touch them, and you realize that this is not imaginary. Put up by a secret society that had a message, a warning for humanity. Well, we also wanted this time to remind you about our all-day session, our conference we're going to be putting on the 17th of October here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we do hope that you're going to be able to come. That's the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. You're going to have reservations. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you can make it, and this is the last day that you're going to be able to get the special rate on the hotel rooms there at the Sea Cliff Golf Course. I should say the Sea Cliff Motel. Anyway, that's October 17th. I hope you can be there. We should get a real good turnout. Looks like we're going to have a full house again this year. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, tell others, and pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for this next hour, we're hoping to have Lynn Marzulli, but, of course, he has not shown up yet. I'm going to ask my producer to call again if he got a message from Lynn. Why, I'm surprised, because I talked to Lynn earlier today, and he certainly knew he was on tonight at 9 o'clock, and I'm surprised he's not there. The last time I talked to him, he was just so excited about being on with us. But Lynn's a wonderful guest, a good friend. I've never met him, but you get to know so many people so well, talking to them repeatedly over the telephone, just like our last guest, Tom Elias. I've never met Tom, but I consider him a personal friend from numerous conversations we have. Well, certainly, right now, of course, I thought we'll just tell you a little story. I got a call recently from a gentleman who asked me to give a talk to a conference. I won't mention the conference, but we're going to have 6,000 or 7,000 people at the conference. And he asked me if I would be willing to come to another town to be a speaker, and I said I certainly would. And he told me he'd like to have me give a couple of talks. It's going to be a three-day conference sometime next year. But then I simply asked him how he had heard about me. And he said, well, he had attended the conspiracy conference last year, and I had participated. This was not this year, but last year. And I'd participated on the panel. And I was thinking back to the panel, what happened on the panel that he would have heard and he would have thought that I was worthwhile inviting to give a conference. And then I remembered something that happened. The conspiracy conference has a lot of very strange people there. Some of them are really very much into the occult. Some of them are people looking for answers to what's going on today. Fascinating people come, fascinating speakers, and I always enjoy, and of course I enjoy being a speaker at the Conspiracy Conference because I want a Christian voice there, a testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I had certainly had an opportunity here. I was one of the featured speakers, and I'd proclaim my personal certainly faith in Jesus Christ as I concluded my talk. Well, anyway, of course, it's the second day of the meeting at the panel, and there's a long line of people there, and there's about, 45 minutes of people actually there on the waiting to get to the microphone to ask a question. And the very last young man, he'd waited in line about 45 minutes. And he got to the microphone, and he said, my question is to be addressed to Dr. Monteith. He said, Dr. Monteith, he said, now, of course, you profess your belief in Jesus Christ, but how do you know, of course, that perhaps Lucifer really is not really God? Of course, this is the Gnostic belief, and I'd even alluded to that. I mean, how do you know that Lucifer really isn't a good God who's far more powerful than the God you worship? That was, in essence, what he asked. How do you answer that question? Well, I didn't know quite what to say. But, sometimes God does, I believe, direct our minds into giving a proper answer. And I wondered, what am I going to say? And what I said was, well, I want to thank you so much for that question. I mean, that is a wonderful question because basically, I've been talking about the fact that there really are people out there who worship Lucifer. The Gnostic religion is the dominant religion working behind the scenes in America today. Many of our leaders are Gnostics, and they worship Lucifer. And I want to thank you so very much for actually asking that question because, of course, you have demonstrated exactly what I've been trying to say. And this young man, this look of fear came over his face. He turned and he literally ran out of the room.
Wow.
and so it's just amazing how God does work in the affairs of men. We'll be right back. Well, our guest, of course, is Lynn Marzulli, so it's good to have you with us, Lynn. I was a little worried I was going to have an hour monologue. Thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, Dr. Stan, as always.
Well, let's see now. Of course, Lynn, of course, is a minister, an ordained minister, but, of course, he's resigned from a position at a very large church, but where he was assistant pastor there, because he wanted to be able, of course, to put his time full-time into educating people about the true nature of the spiritual battle that's taking place today. And, of course, if there was ever a time to be able to reach people for our Lord now, because it should be so obvious to everybody that something is seriously wrong, and we're seeing all sorts of supernatural manifestations. So you pick up the story there, Lynn.
Well, first of all, Dr. Stan, thanks for having me on. I will be speaking at the Rialto Theater Saturday, September 25th in Loveland, Colorado. I can't wait to get there. It's a four-hour presentation. I've updated my PowerPoint. It now has about 150 slides, many of them cutting edge, and it really deals with what we're looking at. And basically it's this. Is it business as usual or something more? Are the 7.2 earthquake, the Ayapalahoco volcano eruption, the 6 million aquatic life, fish, alligators, dolphins afloat in a Bolivian river, is that normal? The thousands of fish winding up dead in a Louisiana river this week, tens of thousands of marine life washing up on the shores of Jersey, sharks beaching themselves, the Gulf oil spill, which may have spilled the Gulf Stream, droughts in Russia. They're talking the thousand-year drought. They have never seen anything like this in a thousand years in Russia. 500 fires in Russia about a month ago, flooding in Pakistan and China, flooding in other parts of the world. I mean, it's absolutely unprecedented, and it begs the question, is this business as usual, or is this the handiwork of the fallen one? And when we go to the guidebook of the supernatural, i.e. the Bible, we find that the fallen one, i.e. Satan, does this kind of stuff all the time. Read the book of Job. It says, a great wind came. and blew the house down. Well, what does that sound like to you? A great wind. We might call that a tornado today. Was it a Category 5 storm? I don't know. But, I mean, the enemy, when Jesus, when Yeshua, when Jesus is on asleep in the boat and there's this huge storm over the Sea of Galilee, who do you think's behind that? And Jesus rebukes the storm and the storm stops. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But the bottom, all that to say this, Dr. Stan, I believe that some of this stuff is natural. Fine, I get it. But some of it may be the handiwork of the fallen one. We know in prophecy, and specifically in Matthew 24, when it tells us the signs to look for of the last days, wars and rumors of wars, all we need to do is look at the Middle East and see what's unraveling there, what's about to unravel there. And not
hold
only,
that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do have Lynn Marzulli with us, and I always enjoy having Lynn. Lynn is going to be speaking in Loveland, Colorado, as the 25th of September.
That's right, the 25th of September.
At the Rialto Theater, and since you're going to be speaking there in Loveland, well, I'm going to get you next week onto one of our morning programs there in Colorado, and gets right into Loveland, and I know I was invited to go there not too long ago, and we got a great turnout, so we'll try to do the same thing. But we'll
I appreciate that.
Onto our Colorado program, although we do have Colorado listeners here this time of night. We get a lot more there in the morning because they broadcast us not only at 8 o'clock Colorado time in the morning, but then they broadcast again the evenings during drive time. So we'll get you next week on there, because I want
appreciate
people
that.
To hear your message, because Lynn's message is basically my message, but he presents it so well. And he's talking about the volcanic eruptions, the floods in Pakistan, the floods here in the United States, on these large numbers of fish and alligators dying, you know, in the Bolivian River, and all sorts of strange things happening. And basically, we call these, well, acts of God, you know, or simply acts of nature. But does God certainly play a part in the affairs, the physical affairs of the planet? And certainly we're told in the scriptures that God does. And we're told, actually, in the latter days, there are going to be all sorts of terrible physical things happening, and they are happening today. So you go right ahead, Lynn.
Well, you know, they are, Dr. Stan. We're told in Matthew 24, wars of rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, troublesome times, earthquakes in diverse places. And I could spend the next hour talking about all these different things which are happening. When we look at the Middle East, not only the war with Israel, but what we see is perhaps a war between Sunni and Shia Muslim factions. It's been going on for almost 1,300 years. The hatred is unprecedented. And we know that Iran has two checkpoints now. One is the Gate of Tears in the Red Sea. The other, of course, is the Straits of Hormuz. Pretty much, if you shut those two points down, you've basically hit the global blood, or the blood of the global economy, which is oil. You pretty much shut about 70% of it down. And this is why I believe that cooler heads are trying to prevail here. And this is also the reason why the United States sold the Saudis $60 billion worth of arms, because it's Sunni against Shia. And this whole thing could erupt and leave Israel out of it. Meanwhile, and thank you for your producer or whoever got me on the line. He was telling me about some of the stuff that's going on in Israel. I know that they were, Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas are sitting down with Clinton trying to hash out this so-called Middle East peace that's been going on ever since the inception of Israel. Land for peace, they give land like they do in Gaza, and of course there's never any peace. Now we hear of it, talking about giving some of the holy sites back to the Vatican for their control. All I can tell you is this, Dr. Stan, watch Category 3 Igor out in the Atlantic. Watch what happens. If they start giving land for peace, and you can go back and look at this, we had a guest on my show, Acceleration Radio, and he wrote a book about this and talked about it. It's uncanny how every time Israel gives up land or they start to divide Jerusalem or start talking about it, boom, Katrina hits or something like this, hits the shores of the United States. So we're the guys in there trying to force this thing. And, you know, I'm all for peace in the Middle East. Wouldn't that be fun? But when you're up against certain factions that won't even recognize you as a state, as a nation, there's not much wiggle room. But we are up against supernatural stuff like I've never seen. In my blog this morning, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, and I'll be talking about all this stuff in Loveland, politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. It's a four-hour conference. I'm on for 4 hours, Dr. Stan. I am totally charged, excited about being there and doing it. on fire, as it were. But there's this a YouTube video. It's called Madness in the Fast Lane. I may actually leave it up another day. Well, it'll be there in perpetuity on the blog, but I may not post anything because I really want people to look at this thing. And basically it's this. There are these two women, and they're all caught on traffic cams in England. It all happens in the UK, all right? And these two women are walking down the center divider between two freeways, one going northbound, the other going southbound. There's like a pedestrian walkway there that's about 6 feet. So these women, and they're like late 30s, blonde hair, they're from Sweden, they're twins, are walking shoulder to shoulder. Well, it's picked up on the camera, and in the UK dispatches a police a team to get them the heck out of there. As the police approach them, and this is, you got to watch this, because it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. The women literally run out into traffic, and they're hit by cars, okay? Both of them are hit by cars. Now they're on the pavement. The police stop the traffic. Ambulances are dispatched. The next scene you see is the police going over to help the women. One of the women, Dr. Stan, she's been hit by a car. One of the women stands up and pushes the policeman away and then makes a run for it. The other one does the same thing. After a brief scuffle, the police finally get these two women on the shoulder of the road, all right? And it's all on camera. It's all on film. One of the women breaks away, literally runs into an 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler runs over. All this is on YouTube. It's right there. And it was from this UK special called Madness in the Fast Lane. The woman now has a compound fracture in her leg, bone sticking through it. As the policeman goes over there to try to help this woman, right, she sits up. She sits up, oblivious to the pain, spitting in his face and squaring and cursing at him and trying to reach him with her hands. This is how crazy this thing is. The other woman escapes. She's hit by another car. It hits her. She flies into the windshield with her head, right? Then she's finally down. You would think that this would put her out. No. The police go over to get her. It takes six people to restrain her, and she breaks their bonds. Here's the deal. The bottom line is this. She tries. They test both of these women for drugs or alcohol. They come up totally clean. When you see this woman next in hospital, she's a different person. What are we looking at? A policeman that goes on the record has no idea. He's never seen anything like it. They have a psychiatrist which says that, you know, it's a mental patient. Well, for those of us who have read Russ Dizdar, and for those of us who know about the breeding program and the idea that satanic ritual abuse and the idea of modern Nephilim actually intersect at some point, this woman was a super soldier. These twins were literally super soldiers. And this is why their personalities, what was seen on the freeway was one thing, what was in the hospital is the other. The one woman is hospitalized with a broken leg, so she's incarcerated in hospital. The other one is released, okay? It really gets bizarre. 24 hours later, she's arrested again for murdering someone. She kills this man, stabs him like 20 times or whatever. And so the story doesn't end there, it continues. The bottom line is this, Dr. Stan. It's we can look at this just like the policeman who has no background in the supernatural and just say, well, I've never seen anything like this, I'm not sure what it is, or the psychiatrist who's looking at things from a Jungian or Freudian perspective or worldview. But when we look at the supernatural and we understand what is manifesting is satanic ritual abuse, which started back literally in World War II with Dr. Mengele. This woman has been fractured into multiple personalities, and some of these are assassins, some of them are couriers or whatever they're programmed to be. And these women literally were manifesting. And as Russ Dizdar points out in The Black Awakening, can you imagine 1,000 of these things going off at the same time? And I'm going to be talking about some of this at the Rialto Theater Saturday, September 25th, along with Politics, Prophecy, the Supernatural, lots of stuff about UFOs, cattle mutilations, human mutilations, implants, that UFOs are real burgeoning, not going away, and of course, the whole political landscape, how gold is at record high, over 1,200, the stock market is shaking, the dollar is enervated, the global financial system is shaking at best, and there's so much